It's something about singing praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I hear the inspired writer saying, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. For who have known the mind of the Lord? Or who have been his counselor? Who has first given unto him, and it shall be recompense unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things." And we say, glory to the Lord. Amen. Have your personal copy. The world's bestseller. I invite your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to keep in mind the verse read by Brother Sperling of 2 Kings 21 verse 12. Keep that verse in mind as we read from the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 through 3. If you have it, please say amen. I'm going to ask you as we do to read this text after me. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. They will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts. Shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears? From that text this morning, and from the reading of the Word of God in the Old Testament, I want to present this message. I'm asking you to repeat this subject after me. Tingling ears and itching ears. What do they mean? Tingling ears and itching ears. What do they mean? Once again, tingling ears and itching ears. What do they mean? The wise man of antiquity said, of all you're getting, get understanding. I know we're here in 2016, but there will never come a time when getting understanding will be reduced to obsolescence or become obsolete. So of all of our getting, there is an urgent need to get understanding. The Bible tells us that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus said, men do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And people err because they don't know the scriptures, they don't know the power of God, and they don't understand that God made the human body. The human body did not come to us from some mindless conglomeration or formulation out of nothingness, but the human body was made by God. God makes it clear, the word makes it clear, that the Lord formed man's body from the dust of the ground, and the Lord breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This same God who made the human body said that in the human body is one body, but yet it has many members. If the ear would say, because I'm not the eye, is it therefore not of the body? The Bible says that God has placed all members into the body as it pleased him. Someone said that the ear is the delicate bridge from the outside natural world to the inside spiritual world. God has given roles to every part of our body. The eye has a function and a role. The hand has a function and a role. The feet have a function and a role. And the ear has a function and a role. Amen. It's through the miracle of the ear we're able to hear beautiful, scintillating music. Through the instrumentality of the ear, we're able to hear oratorical masterpieces. Through the instrument of the ear, we're able to hear those beautiful words, I love you and thank you. Through the instrument of the ear, we're open to many of the mysteries and the glories of the world. And it is indeed tragic. Or should I say, one of the most important uses of the ear is to hear the word of God. Amen. And it's indeed tragic that many are going through life, moving through life, and have not heard the word of God. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk about the importance of hearing. Of hearing the word of God. You might be hearing rap music. Hello, y'all. You might be hearing soul music. And that's all right in its place, I guess. As long as it doesn't violate the word. Amen. But one of the most important things we can do is hear. And there is an exhortation in scripture. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I remember back in the day when mama would be talking to me and I act like I didn't hear a bunch. She said, boy, I know you hear me. Amen. But I was acting like I didn't hear her. So three things I want you to see. Number one, tingling ears. Number two, itching ears. And number three, ears that are ready and willing to hear. Tingling ears. Itching ears. Ears that are ready and willing to hear. Well, what is the meaning of tingling ears? Brother Sperling read it. That God said that I'm going to do something. I'm going to bring such evil and disaster upon Judah that anybody who hears it, ears will tingle. What's the meaning of that? What does he mean about tingling ears? One of the problems that we have in life, my dear brothers and sisters, is pride. I think we have more pride than we are ready to admit. I think pride is a bigger problem that we would care to admit. The Bible warns us about pride. It says in Proverbs 18:16, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It says in Proverbs 21 1 and verse 4, a proud heart is a sin. It says in Proverbs 29 and verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low. Peter said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. King Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian potentate, got lifted up with pride, and God made him a spectacle of madness until he admitted that God is God all by himself. Another preacher said, if you are prideful, you will stumble. And so pride can be a huge problem. It's pride sometimes that won't let us listen when somebody is telling us something. We know they're right, and we know we should hear it, but we won't hear it because of pride. That's why the book say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, Manasseh, Brother Sperling read about him, was Hezekiah's son. He came to the throne at 12 years age. He reigned 55 years. He reigned longer than any king in Israel's history. And he was the worst king that they had. He was the worst king because of his sins and his atrocities. You know, it's one thing to sin yourself, but it's another thing to encourage and induce other people to sin along with you. And usually I find when folks on their way to hell, they don't want to go by themselves. They're trying to get somebody to go with them. Well, Manasseh was the king, and he encouraged and influence a lot of people to sin. And that's a dangerous thing, to let somebody, or you become the instrument of the devil, where you are encouraging other people to sin. Manasseh had a reign of terror. He was a prideful and arrogant king. And let me just say this. You got to be very careful, church, who you put in authority. You got to be very careful who you vote for and who you pray for. Is that all right? Because everybody can't handle power. Amen. You need God to help you to deal with power. Because somebody, I think Lord Acton said that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's what he said. Is that all right? Well, Manasseh was a king that did a lot of things to provoke God to anger. You see, stuff we can do can provoke the Lord. I don't know what God these preachers preaching today. All they preach about is a God who want to serve you and give you stuff. We need to preach the God of the Bible. Preach the whole counsel of God. Tell the people what he's really like. Yes, he's a God of love, but also he's a holy God. He's a God of bless you, but also he's a God of hurt you. He's a God of hurt me. And I do well to fear him. Is that all right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, Brother Moss, what were some of the atrocities that Manasseh committed? Number one, Manasseh undid all of the good that his father had done. Hezekiah, Brother West, tore down the high places, the altars erected to false gods. Because idolatry was a real problem for Israel. They, in fact, idolatry was their downfall because they couldn't shake the desire to be like the nations round about them. And so he erected the altars again to false gods. He even erected, get this, an altar in the temple where God placed his name. He erected a temple in that place. Manasseh worshiped the starry host. He worshiped stars. And most importantly, he worshiped the sun and the moon. And we know better than to worship the sun and the moon. I worship the one who made the sun. I worship the one who made the moon. I worship the one who flung the stars way out yonder. I don't worship the stars. I worship the God who made the stars. He worshiped the starry host. He got involved in witchcraft and sorcery. He consulted fortune tellers. He got involved in divination and all these kinds of things. He even sent his son through the fire as a sacrifice to Moloch, a pagan and false god. He killed the prophets, bloodshed and murder. It was even said that that great prophet Isaiah, he murdered Isaiah, Brother Sperling. Tradition tell us, and we have some biblical allusion to it in Hebrews 11:37, some were sown asunder. It said that Manasseh killed Hezekiah by sawing him into pieces with a wooden saw. That's how he murdered that great prophet Isaiah. He shed blood, and he tried to just wipe out true worship of the true God, and he succeeded. He said he was worse than the people that God had driven out of the land. He was worse than the people that God had destroyed. He said, "You are worse than these people." And he caused the people to just go along with him. And did this. And so finally God reached out to him and tried to tell him to turn from his wickedness. But Manasseh wouldn't do it. And finally God says, "I'm going to bring judgment on you. And what I'm going to do to you, what I'm going to do to you, what I'm going to do to Judah." He said that when the people hear about the evil and the disaster that I'm going to bring on you, their ears going to tingle. What does that mean? It means that when the ears tingle, you hear a loud, shrilling sound that makes the ears hurt and ring. And they keep, you know, you hear something so loud and so shrilling. You know, you get to blowing that dog, because every dog in the neighborhood get to hollering. And you know why he's hollering? Because his ear can tune in to that frequency that we can't hear. Is that all right? God said, "What I'm going to do to you," when people hear about it, the ears are going to tingle. He said, "I'm going to stretch the measurement line that I use on Assyria, or rather against Samaria, and that is, I'm going to cause your enemies to come upon you, and they're going to capture you, they're going to pillage you, they're going to come by force and take away your stuff, they're going to ruin you, they're going to kill you, and I'm going to forsake you, I'm going to abandon you, I'm going to be like a man washing a dish. And when I wash that dish, I'm going to turn it upside down, which means I'm going to shake out all of the inhabitants of Judah. and nobody is ever going to be there again. He said, I'm gonna use the measuring line and I'm gonna use the plumb line. And the plumb line is a weighted line that tests the depth of water and to verify a vertical alignment. And God said, I'm gonna use the plumb line that I used against Ahab's house. And that is, I cut off all of his descendants. I'm going to destroy your family. I'm going to kill all of the males. I'm going to wipe your name out from under heaven. And when people hear what I've done to you, their ears are going to be ringing. Their ears are going to be hurting. The Bible said, behold, here's the God of the Bible. Behold, the goodness and the severity of God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, some people don't realize, you don't realize what you're up against when you're up against God. I'm telling you this morning, we up against something. Like a man trying to fight a tornado. How you gonna fight a tornado? Tornado rip roofs off of houses, reduce sturdy structures to rubble. Who am I to try to fight against God? And God say, what I'm going to do to you, it's going to be so harsh, it's going to be so severe, it's going to be so detestable that when people hear it, their ears are going to take. And I'm afraid if America doesn't repent of all the wickedness and foolishness that's in this country, somebody's ears in America are going to be tingling. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Then what does itching ears mean? Itching ears, we come to the New Testament, are ears that want to be tickled and scratched. They are ears where people don't want the truth. They only want you to tell them what they want to hear. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, some things I don't want to hear, God knows I need to hear. Is that all right? Itching ears will tell you, just preach to us smooth things. Preach to us how to relax and how to keep your blood pressure down. Preach to us how to win friends and influence people. Don't preach to us about the seriousness of sin and the fact that your sin will find you out, and if you die in your sin, you don't know what you're up against. Is that all right? And he said, the time will come, and that time has come, when people will not endure sound doctrine and teaching. The time will come and has come when people will not hear the soul-saving and the life-transforming truths of the gospel. The time will come and has come when people will not deny themselves, they will not take up the cross, and they will not follow Jesus daily. You've heard about the preachers of LA. Hello, y'all. You've heard about the preachers of Detroit. And now they got a new one, what? Called the preachers of Atlanta. I'm asking about, what about the preachers of the Bible? What about Paul? What about Peter? What about John? What about James? And people are gathering together preachers that's preaching only what they need to hear and not what they want to hear. Living in a world now where people don't want truth. They'll tell you, ain't no absolute truth and nothing absolutely wrong, nothing absolutely right. You hear people doing some of everything and they'll tell you quick, don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? Amen. Paul said the time would come. And that time is here because all I want you to tell me is what I like. And I can understand that. But I got to keep it real. Amen. We talked about this morning in the Sunday school. Do you know your own spiritual strength? Do you know how strong you are spiritually? Do you know what needs to be worked on in your spiritual life? You go to a trainer. He tell you, I'm going to get you into Pilates. Y'all all right? I'm going to strengthen your core muscles. Oh, come on, somebody. Help me here. Is that all right? Do you know how strong you are? Do you know what you need? The time will come where men will not endure sound doctrine. We're out of time now. People don't want to hear nothing the Bible has to say, and get rather hostile with you if you say, here is what the Bible says. But yet, in spite of all of that, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. We're living in a culture that don't want truth, but Timothy, you preach the word. We're living in a culture where nothing is absolutely right, nothing is absolutely wrong, but you preach the word. Be instant. Be ready. Preach it when they're smiling. Preach it when they're frowning. Preach it when they're clapping. Preach it when they're getting up, walking out. Preach the word. Because the word will help people. Preach the word. Because the word will heal people. Preach the word. Because the word will save people. And the time will come. A lot of people are caught up in the time, but in the midst of the time, I want you to preach the word, because you got tingling ears and you got itching ears, but I want you to preach the word. And I come to the final thought here, and that is ears that are ready and willing to hear. Amen. Let him that has ears. You might have ears, but are you using them? You may have eyes, but are you using them? God knows there are some people who have ears and will not see. Notice I said cannot. I said will not. There are some people who have ears and will not hear. Not that they cannot hear. They will not hear. So you got tingling ears. When I think about eternal punishment, that make my ears tingle. Think about going to hell, that make my ears tingle. I don't want to go to hell. That all right? I remember when I was cutting about as a little boy, mama said, boy, you going to the lake. I said, mama, I don't want to go to the lake. My ears was tingling. And do you not know, can I get heavy? Do you not know the thought of going to hell kept me out of a lot of bad places? Kept me from doing stuff. I was right up to the edge. And I got to admit, one scared of too much, but I sure was scared of Jesus. And it made my ears tingle. And we do have something to fear. You won't hear the word of God. You do have something to fear. Amen. So God is not willing that any. And one of the most important issues, I'm trying to wrap this up, that all of us face is motivation. How many feel energized and motivated when you get up and go to work every day? Thank you, Yvonne. Are there days you go and you don't necessarily feel like going? Y'all all right? So what is it that motivates you to, I guess you're saying, she said paycheck. Sort of like Marvin said, money we make it before we see it, you take it. Make me want to holler, throw up both my hands. But you know you got bills that gotta be. Is that right? Motivation is a big issue in the business arena. Motivation is a big issue in the educational arena. Sister Whitney will tell us that. Rachel would tell us that. Sister Anderson, all of these great educators would tell us that. Keeping your staff motivated. Keeping your students motivated. I think Whitney said about this time of the year, it's just about over. Around about April. Man, they fast losing motivation. That right, Whit? Yeah. We need motivation in the political arena. What will motivate people to go out and vote? Motivation. We need motivation in relationships. What motivate us to come on back and try it one more time? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Yes, we need motivation in the spiritual. What's going to keep me fighting this fight? What's going to keep me? A lot of times I'm tired. A lot of times I'm discouraged. And Brother Moss, I love you, but I ain't feeling it, Brother Moss. Amen. I'm just keeping it real, y'all. Amen. Sometimes I ain't feeling it. Praise God. I've been in gospel meetings and had a meeting for a week. I said, Wednesday, oh, Lord, I got two more nights. Two more nights, lads. So I got to get some. Lord, we need more motivation. Got to have more inspiration. Yeah, you bring salvation to the nation. Is that all right? So motivation. So let me share this with you. Nobody understands motivation more than God. I want to give you three motivational strategies that the Lord used. Can I give you three? I'm just about there. I want to give you three motivational strategies that the Lord uses to help people. Because you got to help people to hear. Because if people don't hear, Brene, they're going to be destroyed. I know this is 2016, bless you, but there's a voice that is still saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. What? Hear ye him. If you have ears to hear, what? Let him hear. This is my son. Hear him. What three things does God use? Number one, God uses patience to try to help people to hear. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is sparing people's lives patiently because he does not want them to perish. And God tells his servants, as you try to help people and lead them to a better place in life, you must be patient. One of the problems in the church today, we're so impatient. We're so quick to write people off. Hello, y'all. Is that all right? But aren't you glad God didn't write you off? Aren't you glad God kept the line open? Even though you weren't hearing him. But he kept the line open for you. Then it says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but must be gentle to all men, apt to teach, skillful in teaching, instructing those that oppose themselves. In other words, you got to be, if you want to help somebody who's tied up, tangled up, and messed up, you got to have some patience. Some of us were messed up. Can you say amen to that? Some of us were tangled up. Amen. Some of us were tore up on the floor. Help me here, Holy Ghost. Is that all right? The second thing God uses is goodness and blessings to help people to hear. And sometimes you may know you ain't living right, but blessings still keep coming in. Blessings still keep coming in. You're not going to church. You're not praying. You ain't reading your Bible. You ain't saying thank you, Jesus. And blessings still, I know we say when praises go up, blessings come down. Sometimes if praises don't go up, blessings still come down. Hello, y'all. I got Bible for that. Well, what's your Bible, preacher? He causes his sun to shine on the evil and the good, and his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Sun just don't shine on wide yard. It shine on the dope dealer's yard. Is that all right? Then the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, the goodness of God leadeth thee. And I want to say this morning, Lord, show been good to me. Can anybody say amen to that? Lord, show been good to me. Third thing he uses is, watch this, this is a big one. He uses difficulty and affliction. Sometime he sent us heartache, hardships, difficulties. He might send a sickness to you to get you back on track. And sometimes he have to knock you down without killing you. And sometimes the only place you can do when you flat on your back, the only place you can look is up. Manasseh. I go back to Manasseh. He, Brother Wyatt, get for me, 2 Chronicles 33, I think 10 to 12. Might be First Chronicle, but anyway, you got to find it. Come on up here, preacher. Manasseh, after God sent him into prison, and he had a rough time, I think that's Second Chronicles 33, 10 through 12. Is that it, Brother Wyatt? Is that what I want? What did it say, preacher? Lord spake unto Manasseh, to his people, would not hearken. Watch this. Wherefore, the Lord brought upon them, took Manasseh among the thorns. Sometime you ain't going to answer to God. Stick you with some thorns. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Come on. Go ahead.
And bound him with feathers.
And he put him in chains, y'all.
And carried him to Babylon.
Surely he carried him away. Remember what he was doing? He was erecting altars in the temple. He was worshiping the starry host. He was murdering people. He was practicing witchcraft, sorcery, fortune teller, divination, soothsaying. He tried to blot out true worship, influencing people. God spoke to him. He wouldn't hear him. So God said, all right, I'm going to come get you.
Yes, sir. And when God come get you.
Remember when Saddam Hussein was talking all that stuff about what he was going to do? And when America invaded, Saddam was hiding in a hole.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Hello, y'all.
Amen.
You get so high, God will have you hiding in a hole.
My Lord.
But if you hiding in a hole, he know where you at. He know what hole you in.
That's right. You come get you.
You hear that, Dominic? He know what hole you in. You hear that? He said, yeah, I hear that. What did it say, Brother Wyatt?
And when He was in affliction.
Uh-huh.
He besought the Lord his God.
And when he was in affliction, when he hurt it enough, or when he hurt enough, let me be proper here, when he hurt enough.
Yeah.
Maybe right now you won't hear, listen, because you ain't got hit hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
He got to hit you a little harder.
Yeah, two bricks instead of one.
Huh?
Yeah.
He had a brick, now he got a two before.
Talk, preacher.
Amen.
Yeah.
Read, Brother White.
And humbled himself. Greatly. Before the God of his fathers.
Before the God. Now, Brother Spurgeon, all you read about it, Doc. All this stuff he did. Now, he listens. Psalms 119:67 say, listen to this. Before I was afflicted,
yeah,
I went astray. But now I have obeyed thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. God sent that affliction to bring me back, because he doesn't want me to perish. But why was that all of that? Trying to wrap this up now.
Yes, sir.
So in conclusion this morning, there's a voice that says, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Tingling ears. Fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. Itching ears. Just preach to me what I want to hear. I don't want to hear all the rest of that. But ears that are ready and willing. Lord, help me to have ears that are ready and willing to hear. Amen. Faith comes by, and hearing by. Jesus said, my sheep hear what? My voice. Won't follow another voice. Is that right? God is saying to all of us today at Bush Hill, he that hath ears to hear what? Let him hear. God is speaking to the unsaved person. He's saying to you, repent and obey the gospel where I can save you from your sins. God is saying to us who are saved and are sanctified, he's saying to us, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So I'm saying good morning to you, brothers and sisters. But praise God for tingling ears. Amen. I believe the whole counsel of God, White. Amen. But I don't want itching ears. I want ears that are ready to hear the word of God. Is that all right? I told you earlier, somebody said that the ear is a delicate instrument that brings the outside natural world into the inner spiritual world. Is that all right? And I still hear a clear voice coming down through the centuries saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And I want you to do what? I want you to hear him. Somebody ought to hear Jesus. Is that all right? It's in our best interest to hear Jesus. It's in my best interest to hear the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Is that all right? It's in my best interest, Jimmy, to hear the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believes in me, he will never die. Is that all right? It's in my best interest to hear the one who said, I am the bread of life, and any man eat this bread, he will never die. Is that all right? Oh, it's in my best interest to hear the one who said, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Is that all right? It's in our best interest to hear the one who said to the woman at Jacob's well, if you knew the gift of God. And if you knew who was talking to you, you would have asked me for some living water, and I'd have gave you some of this water. Is that all right? It's in my best interest to hear the one who said, I am he that once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Is that all right? It's in my best interest to hear the one who said, I am Alpha and Omega. It's in my best interest to hear the one who said, I am the beginning and the end. It's in my best interest to hear the one who said, I am the first and the last. It's in my best interest to hear the one who said, I am the first and I am the last. Is that all right? Oh, it's in my best interest to hear the champion of Mount Calvary. It's in my best interest to hear the one who's Mary's baby. Why? Is that all right? It's in my best interest to hear Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel. It's in my best interest to hear the one who said, I hear the hymnologist saying, he said, I come to the garden alone. Oh, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there is like no other has ever known. But watch this. He said he speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. Oh, I tell you, that's a sweet voice, ain't it? Oh, the birds hush their singing, Jimmy. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. Is that all right? And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. Oh, ain't that something to hear? And the joy, Sister Johnson, we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I want to hear that voice. I want to hear that voice that was so sweet, the birds. The birds said, shh, shh, shh. The birds said, hush. That robin in that tree you were singing about. Other robin said, hush. Wait. I hear a sound. It's so sweet. The birds hush their singing. That's the voice I want to hear. Would you stand, please? That's the message. Would you stand, please? That's the message. Tingling ears, itching ears, and ears that are ready. Somebody ought to say this morning, you speak, Lord. You just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. Amen? Speak, Lord. Your servant heareth. Speak, Lord. Speak to me, Jesus. And oh, Lord, Lord, talk to me. How many want the Lord to talk to you? Talk to me, Lord. I know I've been seeking him. And I know I need him. How many can say, I know I need him? I need him every day, y'all. How many can say, I need him every day? I need him every day. Every day. I couldn't not have awakened this morning if he hadn't, Brother Spurgeon, touched me with his finger of love. Oh, I need him for every breath I take. Amen. So if you're here this morning and you hear the voice of the Lord, we invite you to come right now. If you hear his voice, don't have an ear that's tingling. You want to hear that voice that's sweet, don't you? You don't want God to do something to you so awful. I'm just being real. That when folks hear about it, their ears tingle. Amen. We don't know how we're going out. We know how we came in, but we don't know how we're going out. But when, however I go out, I want the Lord to hold my hand. Is that all right? And so I don't want itching ears. I need some folks in my life that love me enough to tell me the truth. Oh, yeah, it might hurt. Anybody got somebody in your life that love you enough to tell you the truth? It might hurt, y'all. Might hurt, but that's might be the exact thing I need to hear. Is that right? So, boy, you on the wrong track. But who you going to listen to? You going to keep drinking Hennessy? And the doctor told you it ain't no good, but you going to still keep smoking joints? You going to still keep running behind Sally Sue? I know Sally Sue can. I ain't going to say no more. I ain't going no further than that. Mike, who you going to listen to? Tingling ears, itching ears. Ears that say, Lord, you just tell me what to do. And I'll do it. I'm going to sing this song, my brother's song. I keep falling over, over. Now I keep over, over. Now he gets sweeter and
sweeter as the days go by.
Oh, what a love
with my Lord.
I keep falling in love with him over, over. May be seated.